Not sensible to be left is the worth of discussion. Time to patch up and fill the gap. Conclusions signify the destinations. Glorious is the rule of going on. Destinations define new budding directions. I know there's a beauty and joy which lies in the journey, not the destination. Today's steps, they are forwarded further to talk about few more alpha antagonistic agents. Welcome all to this Pharmacology Difficult podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Radhika Vijay, MBBS MD Pharmacology, and this is the audio hub to get the best simplified basic tips, strategies, methods, and lots of ideas to learn better, understand better, and make your concepts crystal clear. If you really find, and if there's a question hovering in your minds, is pharmacology difficult? Lend me your ears for a while and let in the magic of knowledge. Well, let's break the ice with alfuzosine talk. Now, the basic points you need to know about alfuzosine, they are that first. Alfuzosine is a quinazoline moiety. Second, it's a wonderful therapy for benign prostatic hyperplasia, but not hypertension. Third, from a pharmacokinetic point of view, it possesses average duration, rather I should say short duration of action, with a half-life of 4 to 5 hours. Fourth, its affinity is almost equal at all the alpha 1 subtype receptors, that is alpha 1 A, B, D, etc. Fifth, it's metabolized by the CYP, capital CYP3A4 enzymes. And the CYP3A4 inhibitors should be given with great caution along with these drugs. Can you mention some CYP3A4 inhibitors? Well, I'll do that for you. Ritonavir, clarithromycin, ketoconazole, etc. Sixth point. Alfuzosine is usually taken as 10 mg extended release tablet once a day, especially after the meals. Seventh. And the last point I want to tell you all is its possible adverse drug reactions are basically cardiac. It may prolong the capital QD interval in susceptible patients. So that's an overview, rather a detailed discussion about alfuzosine. Next on our list, today we have the drug tamsulosine. A very one-liner I gave you last episode about tamsulosine, but today we gonna elaborate it. Now, let's get to know tamsulosine a little closer. Tamsulosine is chemically a different structural entity. It possesses benzene sulfonamide moiety. Its affinity ranges from high to low. It's maximum for alpha 1A receptors, then for alpha 1D, and lastly lowest for alpha 1B receptors. Now you should know that tamsulosine is a prominent antagonistic at alpha 1A receptors. It is a preferred treatment for benign prostatic hyperplasia, but it is quite insignificant treatment for hypertension. It has average duration of action. The half-life is up to 10 hours. Initially, it started with the administration on a low-dose therapy that is slightly tapered upwards, and 0.8 milligram is quite an efficacious dose. At high doses, the adverse drug reactions seen in case of tamsulosine are complications related to ejaculation in the few susceptible people. Well, that's an account of tamsulosine. Let's move forward. The next drug in our list is silodosine. Now, selectivity matters for silodosine also. It's maximum for alpha 1A and lowest for alpha 1B receptor subtypes. Glucuronide metabolites, they are formed as a result of metabolism by a new enzyme. The enzyme that metabolizes silodosine has specific inhibitors like valproic acid, probenecid, etc. And hence, the use of these enzyme inhibitors should be well monitored it's cautious as far as my advice is concerned. Now, salidocene is a very nice, good approved therapy for benign prostatic hyperplasia, but again, not hypertension. Some of the adverse effects that can be seen along with the administration of salidocene, they are dizziness, hypertension, retrograde ejaculation, etc. It's basically available in capsule dosage form in the market. Now, we have got to know a lot about the alpha-1 agonistic agents. What should be the next step in our plan of action? Well, let us summarize the overall adverse drug reactions for the alpha-1 agonistic agents. Not to exaggerate much, you all know it, the most important adverse drug reaction that is seen is first dose hypotension. It is seen within half an hour of the prazosine administration, and starting it is seen within 2.5 hours of doxazosine administration. If you add on the antihypertensive agents concomitantly with these alpha-1 antagonistic drugs, then there is worsening of hypotension. So what is the rescue therapy? That is to start with a low dose of alpha-1 antagonistic agents like prazosine, doxazosine, and then gradually taper it upwards. Now, when we talk about hypotension, then how can you forget the importance of posture? Posture is also very important. Orthostatic hypotension is a dependent adverse drug reaction. And a proper monitoring of the blood pressure is definitely advisable. So that was a summary of the adverse drug reactions, the prominent ones that are seen with alpha-1 antagonistic agents. Next, what should we summarize? After this whole detailed account of alpha-1 antagonistic agents, the best and the last step is to know their important applications or uses. Well, the first one is no doubtedly hypertension. That is a treatment of essential hypertension. It is highly benefited by these agents. Some favorable side influences of the alpha-1 antagonistic agents are better lipid profile, improved glucose, insulin profile in at-risk patients. The next important application would be congestive heart failure, abbreviated as capital CHF. Well, not alpha-1 antagonistic agents, they are not the drug of choice in this particular case, but they are useful as short-term agents. How they help? Well, they help by decreasing the preload and the afterload. And the benefits are also by decreasing the pulmonary congestion and improving the cardiac output. Nothing much is expected out of these agents in the situation of congestive heart failure. Moving on to the next important application, a well-known one is benign prostatic hyperplasia, abbreviated as capital BPH. Now, when a person suffers from benign prostatic hyperplasia, the person experiences urethral obstruction, decreased urination, a more frequency, and signs and symptoms of nocturia. The alpha-1 adrenergic tone mediated increased smooth muscle tone and resistance to the urine outflow in the prostate. These are the most important signs and symptoms seen in the patient of benign prostatic hyperplasia. So how does the therapy help? Well, alpha-1 blockers, they reduce these symptoms, and add-on drugs accountable in this particular case, they are finasteride and deuterostride. They inhibit the formation of dehydrotestosterone from the testosterone, and definitely this whole combo therapy of finasteride and deuterostride along with alpha-1 antagonistic agents give great results as compared to the monotherapy of each one of the drugs. Now, alpha-1 selective blockers, they improve the flow of urine. Tamsulosine and salidocene around in a dose range of 0.6 mg daily, they are better suited to control the orthostatic hypotension. And for your kind information, alpha-1A subtype receptors, they are significantly found in the prostate. Accordingly, the drug choices, they are made. Well, these are the most prominent uses of alpha-1 antagonistic agents. Let's get to know the miscellaneous applications. Alpha-1 antagonistic agents also help by decreasing the digital vasospasm in the situations and the diseases of Raynaud's syndrome. But mind it, we have better options drugs. Especially I'm talking about the calcium channel blockers. Of course, they are better option drugs. And since alpha-1 antagonistic agents are beneficial drugs, we can say they also help in other vasospastic disorders, and also they help in the mitral and the aortic valve insufficiency by decreasing the afterload. Well, that was the whole detailed account of the alpha-1 antagonistic agents. I'm so happy that we have done it so nicely and in an orderly manner. But at the same time, I have an announcement now. Yes, it's a wrap. For all the updates and latest episodes of my podcast, do visit www.ispharmacologydifficult.com, where you can also sign up for a free monthly e-newsletter of mine. It actually contains a lot of updates about medical sciences, drug information updates, and my podcast updates also. You can follow me on different social media handles like Twitter, Insta, Facebook, and LinkedIn. They all are with the same name, Is Pharmacology Difficult? If you're listening for the first time, do subscribe and follow whatever platform you are consuming this episode. Stay tuned to rate and review on iTunes, Apple Podcast. Stay safe, stay happy, stay enlightened. Thank you.